offering. A most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Afternoon Satsang. As always, joining you live from our studios in Prashantinilam, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Brother Arvind. We are here to continue with a very important satsang that we began last week. The satsang on the importance of this beautiful gift that Swami has given all of us, which is Prashantinilam, and what it is to make a pilgrimage to Prashantinilam, how we should spend our time when we have this blessed opportunity to come here, how to make best use of that opportunity. We will be continuing with what we started last week, but this week we would like to also say a few things about what Swami says should be the result of coming to Prashantinilam, or what change it should bring in your life, and of course continuing with few other things that we wanted to mention of how to make best use of this opportunity of visiting Swami's Prashantinilam. So without much delay, let's begin by offering our most loving pranams at Swami's lotus feet, and let's invite Arvind to join all of us. Saram Arvind.
Saram Prem, and it is indeed great to be back on this satsang. It is so important, and personally I have found it very revealing, so many things to take home, so many lessons to take home. I remember one of the most important points we were arriving at during the last week's satsang was the fact that everybody in Prashantinilam is a sadhaka. Unlike how it might appear, you know, we think that some people are here are employees, some are volunteers, some are sadhaks, some are administrators. On the face of it, it looks like that. But deep down, everybody is here for sadhana. At least that has been Swami's intention even in setting up Prashantinilam, setting up this ashram. So this is so important because though on the face of it, technically we understand that everybody is here for their own sadhana, its implications are so much more. I remember about a few months ago, there was this lady from New York, an Indian lady from New York, who happened to turn up at Prashantinilam. She found me on Facebook, so she had messaged me saying that I'm coming to Prashantinilam for the first time. I would like to meet you and all that. Mm-hmm. So, I happened to meet her, and she was saying how she spends all her time going to different ashrams, different places, and she had just been to Ramana Ashram, and she had been to the other Pondicherry, Aurobindo Ashram. She visited multiple ashrams in Kerala, Karnataka, everywhere, and finally this Prashantinilam is also another ashram that she is visiting.
Okay.
So I welcomed her, I said, very nice, I hope you have a good time here, I hope you benefit and all that. After that, almost every 2 days she would come to meet me, and each time she met me, I saw that she was going down and down and down. You know, she was saying, this ashram is so different, so, you know, what is this, this person did this, apparently there were some people who tried to, you know, cheat her of some money. Luckily she found out and she didn't get cheated, but in some other place she actually got cheated. Then she said that somewhere she was meditating, she was very rudely shaken up by some volunteer, and it went on. Like, finally she came and she told me, tell me why do people behave like this over here, she asked. I said, behave like what? She said, see, any ashram flourishes because of the sadhaks. Sadhaks mean those who come to do their sadhana. She said, if the sevaks, that is the volunteers and the administrators, are not kind enough to the sadhaks, how can this ashram grow? That was the time when spontaneously, I don't know what, something prompted me from within, and I said, you see, it's a mistake to think that there are sevaks, administrators and sadhaks here. All are sadhaks, all are doing their own sadhana. And I was reminded of what one of our teachers at university had told, and I narrated the same to her, which was Swami's response to this very question as to why, Swami, when we come to Prashantinilam, why are there people behaving so terribly with us? You know, what is this? And Swami apparently had answered saying that everyone is here for the ultimate, you know, ultimate, which is whatever you call it, moksha, enlightenment, immortality, that amruta tattva, immortality. And Swami said that when the churning of the ocean happens, that is a story in the Indian scriptures of how the devas and asuras churned the ocean to get amruta, nectar. Swami said, the nectar comes in the end. What is it that came first? And what came first was actually alahala, the poison, which Lord Shiva drank, and that's why his throat becomes blue and he is called the Neelakant. That is the story. But Swami said that when the churning process begins, the first thing that comes out is all the poison that is within. Swami said that is what happens possibly in Prashanthi Nilayam, because when anybody comes here and the churning begins, the first thing that spews out is poison. What comes in the end, it's only the realized ones or the mature ones that possibly are able to exude Amrita or the tonic of immortality. Now this made little sense to her, but still, you know, she was saying that all said and done, you know, it leaves a bad taste in the mouth. That is when I told her, you see, nobody invited you to come to Prashanthi Nilayam. So why did you come? I mean, next time onwards, make it a point that Prashanthi Nilayam is not on your itinerary. Just go to the other ashram where it's peaceful. Do what makes your heart happy. Just leave it. To my shock, you know, she said, no, that I can't do. Because you know what? There is something in this place. That is what she said, you know. There is something in this place because of which, in spite of all these bad experiences, I'm going to be coming again and again. And even to this day, she remains in touch, you know, to find out about Swami, ashram. She's new to all this, but she says there's something magical in this place. Now, why I said this is not to justify the bad behavior that we do. In fact, what she told me was like an eye-opener for me, and I just felt that personally there are so many spaces where I have to improve in. And as the satsang goes ahead, we listen to Swami's own discourse, where Swami is speaking to all the inmates of the ashram on how they should behave. That's a different aspect altogether. But when we come here, if we remember that we are coming here as a sadhaka, then my focus will automatically be on my sadhana. If that attitude or that focus is not there, that is when, again, let me reinforce that I'm not justifying bad behavior, rude behavior. But when there is bad behavior or rude behavior, my focus goes totally to that, and that mars my entire experience. I did not come here, you know, for a comfortable stay or welcoming words, welcoming statements. If I wanted that, I could have gone to a resort where I will get very good treatment. I have come here for my spiritual growth. So though these bad experiences may leave a bad taste in the mouth, let us remember that that is not what we came for. All of those, the impact of such negative experiences will definitely reduce if we are able to keep our focus on what we came here for, which is sadhana.
You know, even as you were saying that everybody comes here for their sadhana, I'm reminded of a very interesting quote which one of our teachers would say, the teacher of the MBA program. You know, he would say this especially to the other teachers, and the first time I heard it was when somebody told that he had mentioned this during the teachers' conference or the teachers' meeting they had. So in that he said that many students come to Swami and many of them come for their personal growth and personal sadhana. And he added that some students come for our personal growth and personal sadhana. Because they trouble us so much that they turn us within and, you know, they make us more sincere. And sometimes, you know, we often speak of sadhana as a process of suffering itself, right? It's a way by which you're churned, you put through a process of churning. And there is one thing which I was reminded of, and the other thing, you know, when you say that somebody coming like this and saying that I don't know what is about this place, but there is something special. It's understandable when devotees say that. It's understandable when people who are devoted to Swami and who are drawn to Swami say that, because
that emotional connect.
Right, that emotional connect. A place where somebody whom you love lives is a place that you love. I mean, there is no what kind of a place it is, the weather of that place and all that doesn't matter. But even apart from that, you know, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether anybody acknowledges or not, we know that Swami is probably the most potent manifestation of divinity in a human form. And I'm reminded of what one of our alumni was saying recently, I think in a Samarpan talk, Brother Dilip Chaudhary, you know, who is had the fortune of being in Swami's presence. He made a very beautiful point. You know, the way he put it across was very beautiful. I thought I should share it here. He says, look around, look at all these trees and these gardens and all of these places. He said, these trees and plants have inhaled the air the avatar has exhaled. Right? Because, I mean, biologically speaking, yes, it's, you know, they take in the carbon dioxide that we exhale. So he said, each of these plants have grown by inhaling the air the avatar has exhaled.
Mm.
In a sense, they have imbibed the life from the avatar himself. He says it is not without reason that when you come here, you feel closer to your inner divine self. It is not surprising. And I mean, understanding, even I think even last week we were saying this, there are many, many people who come here, they cannot say why, they cannot explain how, but they feel that there's something different here. And in fact, if somebody comes here and don't feel that, then probably there's something wrong. They'll have to look deeper, I guess.
I remember even while discussing conversations with Swami Hislop, he says that, you know, Dr. John Hislop says that after his first meeting with Swami, he says, when you see Swami, different people may feel different things. But if you don't feel positive when you're seeing Swami, something is seriously wrong with you. That's what he says. And yes, it for me, it almost appears as if that mysterious feeling, or there is something in this place, that is the carrot that Bhagwan keeps for the stick of sadhana that comes. You know, because we come here seeking joy, we come here seeking peace. And it is our misconception to think that, you know, peace means everything around will be peaceful. I remember another incident wherein, you know, a person goes to the forest to get peace, to control his anger. And he comes back and he says, I think I have mastered anger. That is when his master tells him that, don't think you have mastered anger because you stayed in a forest without getting angry. What is there in a forest that will anger you? Now live a life of a householder in the world and then see whether you have got mastery over anger. It's easy when I'm all alone not to get angry because there's nobody to get angry on. In the same way, I feel when we come seeking peace, when we come seeking love, it is not as if God will give us a peaceful environment. He will train us and teach us that ability to be peaceful irrespective of what happens outside. A bomb may be exploding outside, but I am peaceful within. That is true peace. True peace is not absence of any noise, such that if a bird comes and chirps on the tree and I am in my meditation, I just frown and, what is this happening? What is irritating bird? I mean, we have a story like that also of a man who kept doing penance. It is there in our Puranas where this yogi, he is irritated because a bird dropping on his head as he is meditating, and he looks at that bird and that bird is reduced to ashes. But he is considered as a beginner on the path of spirituality because possibly his sense control has given him some sort of a power, but he is not yet eligible to wield that power. So too, when we say that we have truly become peaceful, when it is like the famous prayer that goes, I prayed to God for strength and he just showed me all my weaknesses, because it's by overcoming my weaknesses I grow strong. I prayed to God for love and he filled my life with people who were unlovable, because it's only by loving them that I develop love. So though it seems contradictory, it is perfect. The ashram, Prashantilam ashram, has been made perfectly because, as we discussed last week, this is for Prashanti and not Shanti. Shanti is the ordinary lack of sound and peace and everything. Prashanti is the deep peace which can't be shaken by anything. I mean, so if sitting here, if a dog barking outside is irritating me and making me get upset, what sort of Prashanti is that? So I feel everything is perfect because it has been done in Lord's wisdom. And we have to start aligning along those views so that we benefit the most during our stay at this place.
I'd mentioned this last week when we were talking about a devotee telling Swami that she wants to come and settle here. And, you know, Swami explained that the same thing what you were saying, that the peace has to be sought within. Probably I'll just read out from that. This is a transcript of an interview which we had in which she actually says what Swami had told.
Mm-hmm.
When this lady asks Swami that, you know, apparently you're a newer devotee, if you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the interview which we did with Ms. Rani Subramaniam. This was her daughter's in-laws, you know, who came to know Swami because of the marriage that happened. And then in one of the interviews that the mother of that, her son-in-law asked Swami this, that, you know, she wants to come and settle in Prashantinilam. And Swami asked her, why do you want to stay here?
Mm.
You have two sons, live with them, who will take care of you, right? Then she said, Swami, here I get peace. Then Swami said, no, there is no peace here. Do you know where peace is? it is in the inner self.
Mm.
Prashanti Nilayam will help you struggle righteously to achieve that peace. Struggle is needed here as well. It is not as if once you come to Prashanti Nilayam, everything in your life gets sorted out automatically.
Mm. Mm.
You have to work on yourself with your knowledge.
Mm.
Swami gives you that wisdom, but you have to practice it.
Mm.
It is similar to going to a school or college where the teacher teaches but doesn't do the work for you.
Wow.
So this is what Swami was saying, that you know, the process itself is has to be undertaken by oneself. It is not like a place where you can come and procure peace. That's what Swami is saying. But nevertheless, I think for people who have never come to Prashanti Nilayam, it is not to scare them off by saying that this place is going to be, so peaceless, and you come here and you will not find even a moment of silence. It is not like that, because for most people, when they come, the first interaction or the first exposure they have to the ashram is actually pretty good. You know, there is a lot of calm, and definitely it's way, way less polluted than any of the cities in India or abroad, or even just outside the ashram gates for that matter. It's far cleaner, and people do speak, you know, far much, much more lovingly, more softly and all of that. But you will have this encounter very periodically and every now and then of people being rude or you having unpleasant experiences like what we've been narrating.
If you have an expectation that this is utopia,
right,
and
exactly.
Your definition of utopia is that everything is perfect all around. It's like, you know, it's like somebody saying that God is the most loving, but you know, Swami was so angry and he scolded me. So how can he be God? That means I've got my definition of God somewhere wrong, because or my understanding of the definition wrong, because it doesn't mean that if somebody loves you, he can't scold you. I mean, my mother loves me. She has scolded me so many times. I love my child. I scold my child so many times. So therefore, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to say that Prashanti Nilayam is utopia, but the way I build up my utopia may be wrong, and that's why, dear listeners, that both, I mean, dear listeners, especially those who have never come to Prashanti Nilayam, as Prem said, it's not like as you come here, you will be barked at and you'll be chucked out. No, it's not like that. But if you're having a false utopia, like I had, you know, when I joined school, I really felt that I'll be joining a school which is looking like a school in brick and mortar, but it will be inhabited all by levitating saints, you know. And when I heard somebody use a swear word, I was shocked. I was thinking, how can this be Bhagwan school? But that's it. That is what it is. It's not like anything was wrong in the school or what Swami has made. It's all wrong in my own perceptions. And that is why this kind of perception correction
actually,
is so
in
necessary.
In fact, Swami gives a very beautiful analogy.
Mm-hmm.
We often used it. Swami would say that Prashanti Nilayam is a garage,
mm-hmm.
where you come to get your, you know, inner mechanic sorted out, whatever it is. Like periodically, Swami would say that the car has to come back to the garage to have all its oil topped up and all its, you know, nuts and bolts tightened. Swami would say, see, a car which comes in after a lot of use, it's going to come dirty and it's going to get cleaned up here and go. So when a car gets cleaned, where will all the grease stay?
It'll in the garage.
Swami said it'll stay in the garage. So the little bit of whatever we were talking about, the unpleasantness that you're likely to encounter in the ashram, Swami said it is because of that. And, you know, many times you would see that being the case, where you would have a lot of people, we actually do not appreciate the kind of problems people come to Prashanti Nilayam with. You know, for most of us, we turn to Swami as the last resort. And when you say it's the last resort, it means you're at the end of your hope, or you're at the end of all your attempts to get recourse in whatever problems you're undergoing. So you can imagine a place filled with people who have come driven by such trauma. Of course, you will have people who have, you know, elevated themselves beyond these mundane pains. You will have people who are here for, as Swami was saying, the ultimate peace. But you will also have, because, you know, I think that is one of the major differences between probably a guru who is teaching you one particular path, a guru who is teaching you self-inquiry, a guru who is teaching you meditation, and an avatar who is for everybody. An avatar, when he is here, he is for the person who is seeking a child. He's for the person who's seeking a good marriage for her daughter, a promotion, a problem of health. They come. All of these people come along with them. They're also jignasus who are here, you know, who are seeking something higher. And we should never forget that. As you're saying, when we say a sadhaka, it does not mean everybody who comes here comes in
moksha.
Right, in quest of the highest moksha, and everybody comes after a certain level of sadhana.
Correct. You know, I remember Swami saying, playing on the words of the famous nursery rhyme, Baba Black Sheep. Swami said, this Baba is a white sheep. You know, it's Baba Black Sheep, but this Baba is a white ship. He has come to ferry everyone across this Bhavasagara. Every guru is usually a boat, and he takes across a few disciples across this ocean of misery, across this ocean which we call the Bhavasagara. But Swami, the avatar, is a ship, and on the ship you have all kinds of people who are, you know, traveling, people who are coming to enjoy, people. There are even people who get on the ship with the hope that I can pickpocket some money because there are so many passengers here. So all sorts of people come. All sorts of people come onto the ship, and that's what it is. If I want to travel in a ship, I have to be ready to come face to face with all kinds of people. Otherwise, I should take a little boat. You know, if I want the safety, the security and the comfort of a ship, I must be ready for this kind of companionship.
Now, I recall one of the things which some students are saying, of course I'm not quoting it verbatim because I'm not sure what exactly Swami said, but something to this effect, where Swami had called some of these students for an interview, and Swami was driving this very same point that your focus should be Swami, you should have aspirations for the higher achievements and not be caught up in the mundane things.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course, Swami said, do you think everybody who's sitting in the portico said, all these VIPs, they're here for Swami? And then Swami said, you know, some of them are sitting there and discussing business deals.
Hmm.
Because for them, that is an opportunity. You know, it's a high net worth networking opportunity which is there.
Hmm.
When you come, you have all the industrialists, you have ministers, you have, people, NRIs, who have a lot of money to invest in.
And using the common thread of Bhagwan, you can link all of that.
Right. And, you know, you present yourself as a businessman. You appear like a devotee who is a businessman, who can be trusted more than any other businessman. So Swami was saying that a lot of these people come. Then Swami went on to say something to this effect, where Swami said, but they also need the opportunity to interact with something so pure. The opportunity to come face to face with Swami and be inspired. And that is why I'm giving them this opportunity. And Swami said, many of them do transform. You know, though they've come for different reasons. In fact, for that matter, so many of our students are also like that. We come for different reasons. But given that opportunity to interact with Swami, I think everybody has the ability to, you know, at least switch desires from something lower to something higher. And as we often say, that's what happens to Dhruva. He starts off by asking a seat on his father's lap, literally for a little more respect in the palace. But then by the time Vishnu appears in front of him, he says, you know, I just want to have love for you. I want to have devotion for you. I should always think of you. I should be able to serve your lotus feet. Right. And Vishnu says, no, that's not what you asked for. But then he said, but Lord, in the process of seeking this, I've realized how trivial what I came to ask for is.
You know, at least Dhruva realized that, you know, that was his nobility and good fortune. I feel our good fortune, you know, when you said that, it just triggered my memory back to the day, you know, when I felt the sole goal of my life was to get a seat in Swami's school. I had tried for 3-4 years in the primary school. I never got admission. And so finally, when I was in 10th grade, I got an opportunity to speak in front of Bhagwan. My school had come for Onam celebrations, you know, in 2 days we're going to have Onam in Prashantinilayam. And on that note, I just feel that we can definitely in our hearts pray for all the people who have been affected by the severe floods in the state of Kerala. The state of Kerala always has had a very, very special place in Swami's heart, and that can be seen from the growing grandeur and magnificence of the Onam celebrations over the years. From what began as a one evening program, now it has become a 3-day, 4-day program in Prashantinilayam. Of course, this year, all the resources and energies have gone towards the rehabilitation and disaster relief efforts. But anyway, it was during that Onam time when my school, Sathya Sai School, in Kerala, we got the opportunity to come to Bhagwan, and I had got this chance to speak. And I had decided that before my talk, I am going to ask Swami for the sole goal of my life, which is, Swami, let me get a seat in your school next year at least, because 4 years I've tried, I've not got. I don't know what happened, Prem, when I actually went and bowed down, took Swami's namaskar, and I looked at him. Instead of asking for the seat, I just said, Swami, please keep me with you all my life. And Swami said, okay, bless me. And today when I look back, I feel it was great, you know. It was something that I asked, which is 1,000 times grander than asking for a seat in the college. But at that point in time, I felt so bad. I went back to my mother and said, Mom, I messed it all up. I began to cry. My mother asked, what happened? I said, you know what? I got this chance. I didn't ask for a seat. She then said, what did you ask for then? I saw you talking to him. I said, no, I just told him, stupidly, emotionally, Swami, keep me with you all my life. My mother was so happy. She said, you don't worry. Whether consciously or unconsciously, you have asked for the perfect thing. I am so proud that you asked for it. And like how you said, you know, Lord Narayana, in case of Dhruva, told him that, hey, but this is not what you came for. What is it that you came for? You came for that, right? I'll give you that. Though Swami did not explicitly say that, today when I look back at my life, I really got it, you know. Though I never asked for a seat in 11th grade, I got the opportunity, and when I look back now, 9 years in Swami's educational institutions. It is so, so, so wonderful, and that's why, you know, I just feel that that's what happens. We may come to Swami with our different intention and motivation. It's not just the people in the portico who come. I mean, Swami possibly referred to them, but anywhere else in the whole Kulwant Hall itself, we have all come to Swami with different objectives. But the very fact that we have come into His presence, into the presence of purity, touches us in a way that our desires evolve, our, you know, aspirations evolve, and at the end of the journey, we are so grateful. We realize that that desire was possibly just a flimsy excuse with which Bhagwan called us to Himself.
Now, I was just mentioning about this sometime back in a talk of mine, where I was referring to Miss Dana Gillespie, one of the world famous singers who comes from the blues singers. Now, she was saying that she came, I think, for the first time in the early 1980s, 81, 82. So I actually was seeing that 1980s, what was she doing in her professional life? In the 80s, she was actually in the peak of her film career.
Yes.
She was acting in the British movie industry. Okay. And she was really doing well. You know, it was right in the middle of her movie career. And of course, she was also a singer. In such a time, she comes to Parthi and she says that nobody knew her here. Nobody recognized her here. And she was saying that that was the time when she actually started having her problem with the leg. She had a fracture and all of that. So she says, unlike it happens to most other people, she came walking into the ashram and she had to be taken out in a wheelchair. Right? That's how bad it was, because she said that, no, I want to have the entire experience. So if it calls for sitting down on the floor cross-legged, I will do that. Even though she was not used to that, and even though she was not supposed to do that because of her, you know, medical condition. So she says she did all that. Swami didn't talk to her. In 1980s, you can imagine that the crowds were far lesser and it must have been so much more easier. And had she told anybody that she was, you know, probably a celebrity like this, that would have made it even more easier. But, you know, she said, no, I can't do that because I'm coming to see Swami. I'm coming to see God. It was just after reading once The Man of Miracles, I think. So she comes and she says for 12 years, she comes back every year, sometimes twice a year. And Swami doesn't look at her. Swami doesn't speak to her. Nobody recognizes her. In fact, she used to tell us whenever she comes to the studio, the first time when she came, she recorded some bhajans in a CD and she got it. And, you know, the bookstore here said that, what is a CD? We don't even sell these things here. Because the CD had caught up in the West, but it had not yet reached India. So, I mean, that was the amount of lack of knowledge they had about her. But, you know, she kept coming back for the same reason, as you're saying that, you know, she might be anything. She was saying that I come here because I love Swami and I'm here to receive something more than what the world is otherwise giving. Right? That attention which the world is giving, that the fame that the world has given her. She said, why am I going to come to Swami to receive that same thing? And, you know, when you come like that, we have seen that what Swami has given her, you know, Swami has given her what she wanted also, and Swami has given her what probably her achievement deserves also, the kind of attention that Swami gave her. But that is the attitude. You know, you come in with, as Swami would tell a beautiful analogy, I think it comes even in the discourse that we'll be playing later. Now, Swami says, if you are a bowl which is upturned, even if there's a drizzle, you will collect. But if your bowl of the heart is turned downwards, even if there's a downpour, not even one drop will be retained in your heart.
On that note, dear listeners, we'll take a quick little break. On the other side of the break, as we have already said, we will be going deeper into this topic and also playing a very, very important discourse clip where Bhagwan has spoken to especially all the inmates of the ashram. Of course, it is relevant to even visitors, but it's most relevant to those who wish to make the ashram a home, because their goal is that they want Swami and they want to achieve the ultimate goal in life. So all of that coming right after the break, so don't go anywhere else. We'll be back soon.
Prashanti nilaya mora ashrayam yuga prabhavan sai mandiram. Prashanti nilaya mora ashrayam yuga prabhavan sai mandiram. Ashandiyode alayum manavarkabhayam manashandi mandiram. Ashandiyode alayum manavarkabhayam manashandi mandiram. Prashanti nilayam orashrayam yuga prabhavan sai mandiram. Dharmachudiyal tagarum jeevitha karmangalile bandhu. Dharmachudiyal tagarum jeevitha karmangalile bandhu. Snehatin neeruravagaluriyoli cholum oru sindhu. Snehatin neeruravagaluriyoli cholum oru sindhu. Prashanti nilayam orashrayam yuga prabhavan sai mandiram. Chitravadi nadi azhugiyunarthiya mitraniketanamunnil. Chitravadi nadi azhugiyunarthiya chitraniketanamunnil. Susmitanai sukhavaradayaganai sai vilangunnu. Susmitanai sukhavaradayaganai sai vilangunnu. Prashanti nilayam orashrayam yuga prabhavan sai mandiram. Prashanti nilayam orashrayam yuga prabhavan sai mandiram. Ashandiyode alayum manavarkabhayam manashandi mandiram. Ashandiyode alayum manavarkabhayam manashandi mandiram. Prashanti nilayam orashrayam yuga prabhavan sai mandiram.
Welcome back, dear listeners. And even as that song concluded, it was about Prashanthi Nilayam, but it was a Onam song, which was ended, I think, almost 10 years ago. Today, most of our brothers and sisters from Kerala should have been with us. Their programs was supposed to be over the weekend. They had a 3-day program, but much of that has been cancelled. I think they might have a couple of days program, much reduced celebrations because of what is happening in Kerala, because many of them, it's not that they don't want to travel to Prashanthi Nilayam or they are busy with something else. Of course, they are busy with something else in the sense that they are busy serving the people over there. A couple of days back when we spoke to Mukundan sir, the state president of the organization in Kerala, he was telling that many years ago in one of the Onam discourses, Swami said, all of you have come here, I'm very happy to see all of you. And in the concluding part of the discourse, Swami said, heavy rains are coming, so all of you go back. So he was saying that, you know, that is probably an indication from Swami that whenever there is a catastrophe of this nature, our duty is actually where there is a need and not where there is a celebration. And that is what they've taken that to heart. We all know Mukundan sir would be here for almost a couple of weeks before the Onam celebrations otherwise.
Mm.
And even as we are speaking, I think he's wearing gum boots and wearing face mask, as one of the alumni who's there was telling, and is cleaning the school over there, Sai school over there. And
when his own house is under flood.
Right, and is steering the relief work over there. And they are planning a Onam feast, which they used to give us here in Prashanthi Nilayam. They are planning it for the people who have actually gone back home after the floods and who are struggling to get back to normal life. They want to have a Onam feast for all of them. That is what they're planning this weekend. And our best wishes and prayers to all of them. And as much as we can help, if any of you can go there and be a part of that work, that would be wonderful. Even otherwise, there are many ways by which we all can participate in this work. And of course, our prayers is something which we can always give wherever we are.
Yes, absolutely. You know, prayers are often underestimated, the power of prayers. It is so, so, so vital. I feel that is the foundation, the prayers and goodwill, the good feelings. When we say Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, Swami would always encourage us at Prashanthi Nilayam or Vrindavan, wherever Swami was, whenever there would be a calamity, Swami would emphasize on this. Of course, Swami would send relief materials, and that's happening from all over India, relief materials, not only from Satsai organization side, from everywhere, relief materials are pouring in, but Swami would liken that akin to symptomatic relief. For full, deep and true relief, treating, healing it at the roots, Swami would tell everyone that, you know, you chant Samasta Loka, and not just chant it, feel it, so that it becomes part of our personality. So that when there is a catastrophe or a disaster near us, we go and help there, not in the attitude that let me help someone, but it is like I feel the pain. And that will come when we imbibe this concept of Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu in our hearts. Really, dear brothers and sisters, the amount of work that our Sai brethren are doing and in Kerala is really wonderful. All the brothers and sisters are gathering together, forgetting their own comforts, forgetting their own miseries, and with immense love for Swami in their heart, going ahead and serving the people. This catastrophe, this disaster has been the worst in the last century. That's what it has been found out, and thousands have lost lives. Up to 2 stories, 3 stories in buildings, there is water. I mean, it's unimaginable. 3 stories of a building underwater. Everything has just been washed away. You know, there have been televisions, refrigerators, tables floating around, cars, vehicles, buses, everything. It's like down to race down. You know, you have to start back from scratch. And usually, you know, I remember one of my classmates who has become a professional photographer. He was saying that the difference between photographers and normal people is if there's a bomb explosion, people run away from the explosion, while we photographers run towards it, you know. I was reminded of this analogy because that's exactly what's happening at a time when everybody is rushing out of this place because it's unlivable, it's uninhabitable. We are having our alumni, we are having the organizations, Satsai Seva organizations of Tamil Nadu and Karnataka.
Disaster team especially.
Disaster team.
Management team.
Yeah, because they also happen to be the neighboring states for Kerala. All of them rushing into the state. It's very heartening. Our deepest and most sincere prayers to Bhagwan to bless these beautiful children with all the strength. He's already doing it. I mean, he doesn't need our prayers for that. Mm. But so that we can also be part of this in some way, our feelings, our thoughts and prayers with the people of Kerala during this festival of Onam.
Right. And it's, as you rightly said, it's not only immediate, spontaneous, knee-jerk relief which is going. They are looking at,
adopting.
As they were saying, adopting some families where the bread earners have passed away because of the catastrophe. Apart from that, they were also saying that they're looking at a long-term medical camp. They want to have a medical camp for at least the next 3 months continuously so that it can be held in different places and medical relief can be given to people.
On a sustained basis.
Yeah, this is something very, very important because when there is a catastrophe, a lot of people come and offer relief. People from all over come, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, that there's nothing to point fingers at that. But what is more important is, you know, after all the real, I mean, and that moment is passed away, a lot of them need rebuilding of their life. And Swami has always insisted that the Sai organization should help in that phase.
Correct.
When, you know, the limelight fades away, but you're still there to do that seva. That, because every time, I think even during the Gujarat earthquake, and if I recall correctly, Swami's relief went a few days after the disaster and after, you know, much of the immediate relief work was over, because Swami said that is when they will really need. That is
everybody
when they,
will be pulling out at that
right,
time.
That is when everybody will be pulling out. And same thing happened even, you know, during
Orissa floods,
tsunami. During the tsunami, Swami sent I still remember a band of Chennai youth. The kind of work they did was phenomenal, because the work they did, nobody else volunteered to do. That was to clear the corpses off the, you know, the beaches in Tamil Nadu, because that was creating a scare of an epidemic. And nobody was ready to come and do that. And our Sai youth went. And, you know, talking about Prashanthi Nilayam, probably this is another thing we have to say. When it was mentioned to Swami that all of these people had gone there and did this particular seva, Swami told them, ask all of them to come to Prashanthi Nilayam. So they had all taken an extended leave. They did not have, I think I had spoken to a couple of them during that time, 2004, 2005, right? So
correct.
They had finished all their leave and all that. Swami said, no, ask them to come to Parthi and then go. And it's not that Swami called them for an interview. It's not that Swami spoke to them. Swami said, no, let them come, be in Parthi for a day and then leave. So, talking about what coming to Prashanthi Nilayam does for you, there is an example for you. You know, Swami says, even probably that physical scare of a disease which they might have had because of the kind of work they did, I'm sure Swami removed even that by them coming and having Swami's darshan and being in Parthi.
Moving on from there, dear listeners, we would like to actually play for you a very, very vital and important clip, because we say it's vital because this is directly from Bhagwan, you know, Swami speaking about how one should conduct oneself, especially in ashrams, especially in Prashanthi Nilayam. Of course, as we stated earlier, this is more relevant for those who are here in Prashanthi Nilayam for longer periods of time, say a week or two or months, doing sevadal duty, doing voluntary duty, being permanent volunteers or being employees in the organization here. Yeah, this is more relevant for such people, but definitely it is relevant for everyone also. So it would be wonderful, and it's with humility and love in our hearts that we will pray to Bhagwan to give his message, because this is so important. We'll continue the discussion after this. This is actually a 10 to 11 minutes clip, but please don't miss any part of it. This is coming directly from Bhagwan.
Today, a small example. Don't take it the other way.
Swami Nirantaram Kurunu, Prema Tattva Ne, Ekkuva Pracharam Chestuntadu.
Bhagwan propagates the doctrine of love.
ప్రతి ఉపన్యాసం నందు కూడాను ప్రేమ 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 అని ఉచ్చరిస్తుంటాడు.
భగవాన్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ డివైన్ డిస్కోర్స్ మెన్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ లవ్.
ఈ ప్రేమను మీరు ఎంతమంది అనుభవిస్తున్నారు, ఎంతమంది ఆచరిస్తున్నారు?
హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దిస్ లవ్, హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్?
ఎవరైనా వచ్చి ఏదైనా ప్రశ్న అడిగితే ప్రేమతో ఒక జవాబు చెప్పకూడదా?
ఇఫ్ ఎనీవన్ ఆస్క్ యూ ఎ క్వశ్చన్, కాంట్ యూ రిప్లై విత్ లవ్?
ప్రేమతో జవాబు చెప్పేటువంటి వ్యక్తి నాకు కనిపించడం లేదు.
భగవాన్ హ్యాస్ నాట్ ఫౌండ్ ఎనీ పర్సన్ హూ
మందిరంలో కానీ,
ఏదైనా మందిర్
క్యాంటీన్ లో కానీ,
క్యాంటీన్
బుక్ స్టాల్ లో కానీ, ఇంకా అకామిడేషన్ లో కానీ,
అకామిడేషన్
ఆసుపత్రిలో కానీ,
హాస్పిటల్
ఇంకే విధమైనటువంటి దాంట్లో కానీ, ఎక్కడికి పోయినప్పటికీ ప్రేమ అనే పలుకే లేదు.
నో వన్ స్పీక్స్ విత్ లవ్ ఎనీవేర్.
ఇంకా ఎందుకు మీరు ఈ ఉపన్యాసాలు వినాలి?
Then why should you listen to this call?
ఒక్కరైనా జవాబు ప్రేమతో జవాబు ఇచ్చేటువంటి వ్యక్తి కనిపిస్తున్నాడా?
Is there any one person who responds with love, answers with love?
ఎవరైనా కొత్త వారు వచ్చేసేసి,
the newcomers come here,
అయ్యా స్వామి దర్శనం పో నాకు తెలియదు పో.
Then say, what is darshan timing? You'll say, go.
తెలిసినటువంటి విషయాన్ని చక్కగా నెమ్మదిగా శాంతంగా చెప్పకూడదా?
Can't you explain softly and sweetly the thing you know?
ఇంకా విద్యావంతులను పోయి అడిగిస్తే వాళ్ళు అంటారు, దిస్ ఇస్ నాట్ మై డ్యూటీ, గో అంటారు.
Then if you ask
me, ఒక డ్యూటీ కావాలన్నా అడిగిన దానికి తెలిసినటువంటి జవాబు నెమ్మదిగా ప్రేమతో చెప్పడానికి ఏమి నీకు నష్టమైంది?
వాట్ ఇస్ ద లాస్ దట్ యు సస్టైన్ ఇఫ్ యు ఆన్సర్ విత్ ఆల్
ఆడవారు ఎందు కానీ, మగవారు ఎందు కానీ, 20 సంవత్సరం 30 సంవత్సరం 40 సంవత్సరం ఆశ్రమంలో జీవిస్తున్నారు, ఒక్కడైనా ప్రేమమయమైన హృదయం లేదు.
Men or women, they have been over here since 40 or 30 years. There are none here with love.
సాధనలు చేస్తుంటారు, జపాలు చేస్తుంటారు, తపాలు చేస్తుంటారు, ధ్యానంలో కూర్చుంటుంటారు, దేనికోసం వీళ్ళు కూర్చుంటున్నారు?
They undertake all sorts of spiritual practices, they meditate, what for?
ఈ ప్రేమ వీళ్ళలో ఏమైపోయింది?
What happened to the love within you?
ప్రేమను చంపుకుంటున్నారు వీళ్ళు.
You are killing the love.
కేని ద్వేషాన్ని పెంచుకుంటున్నారు.
You develop hatred.
నిజంగా స్వామి యొక్క ప్రబోధనలు మీరు చక్కగా హృదయపూర్వకంగా వినాలని సంకల్పించుకుంటే ఎందుకు మీరు దీన్ని ఆచరణలో పెట్టకూడదు?
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ యూ హావ్ ఇఫ్ యూ హావ్ డిటర్మిన్డ్ టు లిసన్ టు భగవాన్స్ డిస్కోర్సెస్ వై డోంట్ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్ లవ్?
నివాసం ఆశ్రమము,
యు స్టే హియర్ ఇన్ ఆశ్రమ్,
కానీ వాళ్ళ చర్యలు చూస్తే దుర్మార్గాలు.
బట్ దేర్ యాక్షన్స్ ఆర్ వీకెడ్.
ఏ పని అయినా కూడా నువ్వు ఒక శ్రద్ధతో చేస్తున్నారా?
Are you doing with any sincerity or steadfastness?
ఎక్కడైనా సత్యాన్ని ఉచ్చరిస్తున్నారా?
Do they speak truth anywhere?
ఏ పలుకైనా ప్రేమతో వారికి అందిస్తున్నారా?
Do they talk with all love?
ఎక్కడే గాని నాకు కనిపించడం లేదు, వినిపించడం లేదు.
Nowhere it is seen. Bhagavan has not heard any such word.
ప్రేమతో జవాబు చెప్పు.
Reply with love.
ఎవరైనా నిన్ను మాట్లాడడానికి వస్తుంటారు.
People come to you to talk to you.
ఏంటయ్యా సమాచారం ఏంటంటారు. అలాంటి సమయంలో నీకు మాట్లాడటానికి ఇష్టం లేదు, దయచేసి నాకు మాట్లాడటానికి ఇష్టం లేదండి, స్వామికి అధికంగా మాట్లాడటం ఇష్టం లేదు, కనుక నేను స్వామి యొక్క ఆజ్ఞ నేను పాటిస్తున్నానని మంచిగా ప్రేమతో నమస్కరించి చెప్పు, తప్పేముంది?
ఇఫ్ ఎనీవన్ కమ్స్ టు యూ టు టాక్ టు యూ, యూ కెన్ సే, ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు టాక్ యూ కెన్ సే, సార్ భగవాన్ డజంట్ లైక్ అస్ టు టాక్ మోర్, దెన్ వై డోంట్ వాంట్?
స్టూడెంట్ అయినా, ఒక టీచర్స్ అయినా, ఒక డాక్టర్స్ అయినా, ఒక నర్సెస్ అయినా, ఒక వర్కర్స్, ఎవరు కూడా ఒక ప్రేమతో జవాబు ఇచ్చేటువంటి వ్యక్తి నాకు కనిపించడం లేదు.
The teachers or students, doctors, nurses, anybody, Bhagavan has not seen anyone that talks with love.
Inka enduku ee upanyasalu meeru vinali?
Why should you listen to these discourses?
Ee vinnanduku edaina oka gurtu undaru kada?
Having heard, at least you should practice.
Upavasam kurchindatante kinda thema undalu kada?
When there's downpour of rain, the bottom, the ground
will be wet. Kaani upanyasalaku bhajanaku front seat lo vachi kurchuntaru.
But you occupy front rows to listen to discourses.
Akaranta bhajan lopala chuste ee aadavaalanta jagadamu, front seat naadi, front seat naadi, enduku veediki ahankaram?
There in bhajan hall, ladies
fight among
themselves, talk by front row. Bhagavata
namasmana vintunnanu ade chaalu ani aananda padchukullu.
Can't you be happy wherever I am? I listen to bhajan of Bhagavan.
Daya untundadi, kavalsinanta prema untundadi, kaani meeru nimpukovatam ledu hrudayallo.
There's a lot of time, there's a lot of love, you don't fill your hearts with these.
Kumbha varsham kurustundadi,
this downpour of rain.
Kundani meeku aa varshaniki edurugani moothi petteste dantu ye konchimaina kudanu andulo neeru nilustundi.
If you keep all the pots straight, you can collect water.
Kaani aa kundanu bolichi petteste enta kumbha varsham vachina oka chukkaina lopala nilchadu.
On the other hand, if you turn the pots upside down, reverse, you cannot collect a drop of water.
కనుక ఈనాటి ఉపన్యాసాలు వినేటువంటి వారంతా కూడా హృదయం అనే కుండను బోల్డిచ్చి పెడుతున్నారు.
So all those that listen to these discourses, they turn their
parts the river.
అందువల్లే కించిత్తైనా ప్రేమ మీ హృదయంలో పడిపోవటం లేదు.
Therefore, there is not even a trace of love in their hearts.
ఎందుకోసం మీరు రావాలి ఇక్కడ?
Why should you come here?
ఎందుకోసం ఇక్కడ జీవించాలి?
Why should you be here?
ఇంకెక్కడ స్థలం లేదా?
Is there no place else?
వచ్చినందుకు మీరు ఏం ప్రయోజనం?
Having come, what is the
use? సాధించారు?
What is that you achieve?
ఏం సాధిస్తున్నారు?
What is that you are achieving?
ఏం అనుభవిస్తున్నారు?
What is that you experience?
ఏం ఆనందిస్తున్నారు?
What does that make you happy?
ఏమిటి లేదు.
Nothing whatsoever.
ఊరికే కాలం వ్యర్థమైపోతుంటుండాలి.
You are simply wasting your time.
కనుకనే మీరు నేటికైనా కూడా ఒక విధమైనటువంటి సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించుకుని,
at least from this day know the truth.
ఎవరైనా ఏదైనా అడిగితే ప్రేమతో ఒక జవాబు చెప్పండి.
If anyone asks you anything, give the answer in all politeness and love.
ఈ పబ్లిక్ మీటింగ్స్ అంతా ఉంటుంటాయి, పబ్లిక్ కనెక్షన్ అంతా ఉంటుంటాయి.
In public congregations there will be public connections. You know,
accommodation office untuntadi,
there is accommodation
information office untuntadi,
information
canteen untuntadi, book stall untuntadi, inka enno stalls anta unnai.
There are so many stalls.
Kaani ekkadiki poyinappatikeni వీళ్ళందరూ కూడాను ఏ బుల్ డాగ్స్ ఏ అల్సేషన్ డాగ్స్ గానో తయారవుతున్నారే కానీ ఒక సరి అయినటువంటి ఒక మంచి హృదయాన్ని కలిగినటువంటి వ్యక్తులుగా కనిపించడం లేదు.
యూ మే గో టు ఎనీ కౌంటర్, యూ విల్ కమ్ అక్రాస్ ది బుల్ డాగ్స్ అండ్ అల్సేషన్ డాగ్స్. దేర్ ఆర్ నో పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ కర్టసీ.
ఎందుకోసం మనం ఈ జీవితం చేయాలి?
వై షుడ్ వి లివ్ హియర్ దెన్?
ఇంకేమైనా హాస్పిటల్ దగ్గర పోతే కోట్లకు కోట్లకు ఖర్చు పెట్టి పెట్టించాము.
ది హాస్పిటల్ ఇస్ కన్స్ట్రక్టెడ్ స్పెండింగ్ క్రౌడ్స్.
ఎందుకు వీళ్ళని ప్రేమతో మీరు చూడకూడదు?
Why don't you treat them with love?
కొంతమంది ఉన్నారు చూస్తారు.
There are some.
కానీ
బట్
వాళ్ళు ఎంతో బాధతో వచ్చినప్పుడు వాళ్ళకి మంచి మాట, ఒక తీయని మాటను ఒకతూరి మాట్లాడిస్తే వాళ్ళ రోగం నివారణ అయిపోతుంది.
When the patients come to you with so many difficulties, why don't you talk to them sweetly?
వారినందరికి యుద్ధం చేసి పది తరం కొట్టినట్టుగా వాళ్ళని తరం కొట్టేస్తుంటారు.
When you start fighting with them and drive them out,
పోపో అంటారు.
You'll say no time, get out.
గెట్ అవుట్ అంటే పర్వాలేదు,
ఇట్స్ ఎనఫ్ ఇఫ్ దే సే.
ఇంకా దానికంటే ఇంకా అధికంగా అంటారు.
దే విల్ స్పీక్ మచ్ మోర్ దాన్ మియర్ గెట్ అవుట్.
ఇలాంటి వాళ్ళు డాక్టర్సే కాదు.
సచ్ పీపుల్ కాన్ బి కాల్డ్
డాక్టర్స్. ఇలాంటి వాళ్ళు వ్యక్తులే కాదు, ఇలాంటి వాళ్ళు భక్తులే కాదు.
దే ఆర్ నో ఇండివిజువల్స్, దే ఆర్ నో డివోటీస్.
నిజముగా స్వామి కోసం వచ్చినటువంటి వారైతే ఈనాటి నుండి ప్రేమను పెంచుకోవాలి.
If they have really come for Swami, they should improve their love.
Swami దగ్గర ఉండేటువంటిది కాళ్ళ నుంచి తల వరకు ప్రేమ ఒక్కటే.
భగవాన్ ఫ్రమ్ టాప్ టు టో ఇస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
ఇచ్చేది ప్రేమ.
He gives love.
మీరు పుచ్చుకుంటున్నారు కానీ దానిని వాడుకోవటం లేదు.
We receive love from Bhagavan, but we don't use it.
ఎవ్వరు కూడా ఒక శాంతంగా ప్రేమతో ఉచ్చరించి జవాబు చెప్పేటువంటి వారే లేదు.
There are none who answer with peace and love.
కనుక ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా, మీరు ప్రేమ లేకపోయినా నేను ప్రేమ స్వరూపులు అంటాను.
దో యూ హ్యావ్ నో లవ్, భగవాన్ విల్ అడ్రస్ ఇస్ ఆల్ యాజ్ ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
కానీ మీరు దేనిని పెంచుకోనక్కర్లేదు, ఒక ప్రేమను పెంచుకోండి.
ఇట్స్ ఎనఫ్ ఇఫ్ యూ డెవలప్ లవ్.
ఆ ప్రేమనేగిని మీరు పెంచుకుంటే,
ఇఫ్ యూ ఇంప్రూవ్ ఇట్,
మీరు ఎంతో తపశక్తిని సాధించినటువంటి వారు అవుతారు.
యూ విల్ హ్యావ్ ద పవర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ పెనన్.
ఎవరైనా కొత్త భక్తులు ఎవరైనా ఇక్కడ ప్రవేశించినప్పుడు ఆశ్రమంలో ఉండేటువంటి వారు వీళ్ళందరూ ఎయిర్ హోస్టల్స్ మాదిరి, ఒక హాస్టల్ హోస్టల్స్ మాదిరి వాళ్ళని ఎంతో వెల్కమ్ చేసి వాళ్ళని ఎంతో మర్యాదగా మనం స్వాగతం చేయాలి.
వెన్ న్యూ కమర్స్ కమ్ హియర్ టు ప్రశాంతి నిలయం, ద రెసిడెంట్స్ మస్ట్ రిసీవ్ దెమ్ ఎక్స్టెండ్ హాస్పిటాలిటీ విత్ ఆల్ కర్టసీ.
ఆశ్రమంలో ప్రవేశించినటువంటి వారిని కూడాను కొత్త వారిని చూస్తే ఎంతో ప్రేమతో వారిని స్వాగతం చేసి తన పక్కలో కూర్చోబెట్టుకోవాలి.
దేర్ ఇన్ ది హాస్టల్ ఆల్సో వి షుడ్ రిసీవ్ దెమ్ విత్ ఆల్ ఎఫెక్షన్ అండ్ కన్సర్న్.
కాదు కాదు, రిజర్వేషన్లు, ఇదొక పీఠం అదొక పీఠం అదొక పీఠం, ప్రక్కన కూడా కూర్చొని వారు.
But we make some reservations, we don't allow them to sit by our side.
ఇది మంచిది కాదు.
This is not good.
ఒకరికి కలిసి మెలిసి ఉంటుండాలి.
We should mingle freely with each
other. స్వామి ప్రేమ తత్వాన్ని ఆనాడు మీరు అర్థం చేసుకున్న వారు అవుతారు.
Then only you can understand the spirit of love of Bhagavan.
కనుకని ఏ మాట మాట్లాడినప్పటికీ ఓ ప్రేమతో మీరు మాట్లాడండి.
Whatever you speak, speak with love.
తెలియకపోతే నాకు తెలియదండి, దయచేసి మన్నించండి.
If you don't know, you can just, sir, I do not know.
అని ఏదో ఒక అనిమల్స్ కదా తరిమినట్టు తరుముతారు.
బట్ యూ షుడ్ నాట్ డ్రైవ్ అవుట్ ద అదర్ పర్సన్ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ ద అదర్ పర్సన్ ఇస్ అన్ అనిమల్.
అది మంచిది కాదు.
ఇట్స్ నాట్ ప్రాపర్.
అందరూ మానవులమే.
ఆల్ ఆర్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్.
అందరినీ గౌరవించాలి.
వీ షుడ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ ఆల్.
అందరినీ ప్రేమించాలి.
వీ షుడ్ లవ్ ఆల్.
అందరినీ విశ్వసించాలి.
వీ షుడ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్
అప్పుడే సర్వభూతాత్మ అయినటువంటి పరమాత్మత ప్రేమకు నీవు పాత్రుడవుతావు.
దెన్ యూ విల్ బి ది రిసిపియెంట్ ఆఫ్ డివైన్ లవ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీవన్.
జీవుల్ని చూస్తే బాధించటము, దేవుణ్ణి చూస్తే పూజించటము.
యూ వర్షిప్ గాడ్ అండ్ యూ హార్మ్ హర్ట్ ద లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఫెలో మ్యాన్.
ఏం పూజ?
వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిప్ ఇస్ ఇట్?
ఒక్కరు కూడాను ప్రేమతో మాట్లాడాలి, ప్రేమతో జవాబివ్వాలి. తెలిసింది తెలిసినట్టుగా చెప్పు, లేకపోతే నాకు తెలియదండి క్షమించండి అని మంచిగా చెప్పు. దీనికి అనేక పర్యాయం చెప్పాను. యూ కెనాట్ ఆల్వేస్ ఒబ్లైజ్, బట్ యూ కెన్ స్పీక్ ఆల్వేస్ ఒబ్లైజింగ్లీ.
రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ టుమారో యూ హ్యావ్ టు ఆన్సర్ విత్ లవ్, యూ హ్యావ్ టు టాక్ విత్ లవ్, అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ డు నాట్ నో యూ కెన్ సే సార్ ఐ డు నాట్ నో.
మాటలు తగ్గించుకోండి.
Cut short your talk.
అప్పుడే మీలో ఉన్నటువంటి అనిమల్ క్వాలిటీస్ అంతా కూడా దూరం అయిపోతాయి.
Then you'll be away from the animal qualities.
ఈ అనిమల్ క్వాలిటీస్ మనలో నింపుకొని హ్యూమన్ వలే మనం ప్రవర్తించాలంటే ఎట్లా సాధ్యం అవుతుంది?
How can we be human with animal qualities within?
దానిని మొట్టమొదటి తరిమి వేయాలి.
First we have to drive them out.
ప్రేమించు, ప్రేమించు, ప్రేమించు.
Love and love.
అందరికీ ప్రేమను పంచు.
Share this love with everybody.
కనుక నేటి నుంచి చక్కని జవాబు ఇవ్వండి.
From tomorrow, talk politely. Give
వచ్చినటువంటి పేషెంట్స్ ను ప్రేమతో చూడండి.
Treat the patients with
వాళ్ళ స్థితిగతి ఏమిటో వాళ్ళు చక్కగా విచారించి మందులు ఇవ్వండి.
Know their position and give medicines accordingly.
అందులో ఏమిటో గాని కలి ప్రభావము,
the effect of the కలి,
ఈ చదువుకున్నటువంటి వాళ్ళకు మరింత క్రూరత్వం ఎక్కువైపోతుండాలి.
The educated people are more and more wicked.
ఎడ్యుకేషన్ అనేటువంటి అహంకారం ఇవ్వడం అంత అనిమల్ గా మార్చేసేస్తుంది.
ఇస్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ దట్ మేడ్ హిమ్ ఎన్ అనిమల్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ ఈగో అండ్ ప్రైడ్.
చదువు అంతో ఇంతో చదువు లేనటువంటి పల్లెటూరు వాళ్ళే ఎంతో వినయ విధేయతతో ఉంటున్నారు.
ఇల్లిటరేట్ విలేజర్స్ ఆర్ బెటర్ విత్ హ్యూమిలిటీ.
కనుకనే మనము ఈ విలేజెస్ వరకంటే అక్కడే కొంత సంస్కారం కూడా నిలిచి ఉంటుండాలి.
దేర్ ఇస్ సమ్ కల్చర్ ఇన్ విలేజెస్ టు సర్టెన్ ఎక్స్టెంట్.
ఈనాడు చదువుకున్న వాటిలో ఏమి కల్చర్ అనేది లేదు.
దేర్ ఇస్ నో కల్చర్ అమంగ్ ది ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ టుడే.
కలతలు ఉంటున్నాయి వాళ్ళలో.
దేర్ ఇస్ నో కల్చర్ బట్ దిస్ కలత ఆర్ కాన్ఫ్లిక్ట్.
కనుక అలాంటివి మనం దూరం చేయాలి.
సో వీ షుడ్ బి అవే ఫ్రమ్ సచ్ కాన్ఫ్లిక్ట్.
భక్తి అంటే పూజించటము భజించటము కాదు.
డివోషన్ డజంట్ మీన్ మియర్లీ వర్షిప్.
భగవత్ ప్రేమను మనం పెంచుకోవాలి.
వీ హావ్ టు డెవలప్ ది డివైన్ లవ్.
ఆ ప్రేమ మీలో ప్రవేశించిన
then one such love is
there. తప్పక మీ మానవత్వమే మారిపోతుంది.
And whole your total human quality will change.
కనుక స్వామి దయను కాబట్టి పెంచుకోవడానికి ఈ ప్రేమ ఒక్కటే రాజ మార్గము.
లవ్ ఈస్ ది ఓన్లీ రాయల్ పాత్ టు ఎర్న్ భగవాన్స్ గ్రేస్.
సో దాట్ వాస్ ది డిస్కోర్స్ దట్ వీ వాంటెడ్ టు ప్లే. ఇట్ వాస్ డిస్కోర్స్ దట్ స్వామి డెలివర్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఇయర్ 1996, ది 3rd ఆఫ్ జులై. అండ్ యాజ్ వీ సెడ్ ఈవెన్ బిఫోర్ వీ ప్లేడ్ దట్ డిస్కోర్స్, దిస్ వాస్ ప్రైమరీలీ ఫార్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ లివింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఆశ్రమ్, హూ ఆర్ సర్వింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఆశ్రమ్. వన్ ఆఫ్ ది రీజన్స్ వై వీ ప్లేడ్ దట్ ఈస్ in all the discussion that we've had, at least this week and a little bit of last week, it shouldn't appear that we are justifying that whatever is happening here as mandated by Swami. No, what Swami expects of the people who are serving in the ashram, that is self-included, all of us, is that we have to have a higher level of patience, a higher level of sweetness in our talk, a higher level of love and forbearance. There's no doubt about that. That's what Swami expects from us. And by saying that when you come to the ashram, you have to be open-minded and accept all of this, is not to justify the actions of people who are here. That is why one thing that I think we have to remember when we say that everybody comes here for their sadhana, what is to be remembered is, whatever happens to you, you are supposed to take it as a process of spiritualization. It is not to justify your own flaws in it. That if I'm coming here as a devotee or if I'm working here as a person in the staff, I cannot justify my flaws as part of the ashram's mechanism.
Providing sadhana opportunity.
Right, that would be individually detrimental for me. But at the same time, when I am in the situation of people around me, I have to see whatever comes from me, from the circumstances, as a process for me to grow spiritually. And that's the point we wanted to make. And that is why Swami is saying that for people who are here, the duty is even more. You should never forget that you have to be representatives of Swami. And so very beautifully Swami said, you are receiving so much love from me, but why are you not practicing that love? I think that is something that we who are here have to remind ourselves every day.
You know, it reminds me of an incident that happened in the ashram many years ago. In fact, this incident was narrated in great detail by Swami himself. And I heard it from one of our teachers, Mr. Sanjay Sahani sir, and it's such an eye-opener for us. You know, of course Swami had actually named the person, I will not name the person here, but this devotee of Bhagwan, he got the opportunity to serve as in an administrative position in the ashram, and he would take his commands directly from Swami and execute them. In fact, you know, while narrating this, the teacher jokingly said that he would literally execute Swami's comments because he was quite rude and strong in his methods, and he was feared by the devotees. Many devotees would fear his actions. He was very powerfully built also, and they would fear his words also because he was quite acerbic and acidic in the way he would speak, very rude, very crude and all that. But he would no doubt accomplish whatever Swami had told him to accomplish, and he would do it. So Swami was narrating how, after many years of serving Swami in that manner, he was much elder to Bhagwan. During his final days, he was struck with multiple problems and diseases, and Swami said that he was lying in his room in his own urine and feces on his bed, nobody to take care of him, his hands and legs, all his skin erupting with multiple infections, and he was in a pretty bad shape. That is when Swami actually walked to his room, you know, Swami walked to his room, and Swami said that he himself sat by his side, cleaned him up, cleaned, you know, assuaged his pains, and, you know, gently massaged his skin and applied balm and all that he did. Of course, this devotee was so overwhelmed and overcome, he was in tears, and he was very, very grateful to Swami for being there in his time of need. But somehow, you know, at the end, when Swami was leaving, he asked Swami this question. And Swami said that he asked Swami, "Swami, all my life I have been serving you. Why is it that I am in this situation at this point in time, and I have got no help for me? What is the wrong I have done?" And Swami said that he told him that devotee, "Dear devotee, you know, you have served me all your life, and that is the reason I have come to you." You know, any good you do doesn't go waste. In fact, on a different occasion, Swami had said that in Prashanti Nilayam, every good you do gets multiplied many times, 10 times, 100 times over, and that many times the good comes back to you. But you know, Swami continued to tell this devotee that though you have served me and that's why I have come, unfortunately, dear one, you didn't serve anybody else like this. So nobody else is coming to you. You know, so that is the thing that I think we should remember, that what happens to us, while we can take it as a spiritual experience and see what is there in that, what is the thing in that obstacle, it would be wrong for us to actively participate in becoming obstacles or problems for others and justify it by saying they should consider this as a spiritual experience. That is totally wrong, as you rightly put it. So what we do, we get back. And as Swami said, any good you do in Prashanti Nilayam comes back tenfold or a hundredfold. We should also remember that multiplying works even for the negative things. If in a place like Prashanti Nilayam, I'm coming, leaving everything and coming and indulging in negative things here, I should be prepared to face 10 times or 100 times the negative. That is something which is very important for us to keep in mind.
And talking about the experiences that you have here and how you have to relate to that, one of the things which Swami would say, I think, if I'm not wrong, it's part of the thought for the day yesterday or the day before that, where Swami says that one of the things that you have to learn in the spiritual path is to speak, think and act consciously. That you should be aware of what you're speaking. You have to think twice before you speak. You have to think 3 or 4 times before you act upon something. That kind of a conscious, mindful action, and that's what Swami would say whenever he speaks the word watch. He would say that you have to consciously see what are the words that you speak, what are the actions that you perform, what are the kind of thoughts that you entertain. Mm. And Swami would say that opportunity actually is given to you when you go to a place which is relatively silent, which is relatively peaceful, which is what an ashram offers. Right? So when you come here, Swami would say that, you know, that heightened level of self-inquiry is what you have to keep doing all the time. Mm. You know, what words prick you? What words actually hurt you? What are the things which disturb you? And Swami was saying that you should really observe yourself as to what are the things which are happening. And that is why, you know, and Swami would often say this, I think we must have quoted this a couple of times, Professor Venkatraman asked Swami that, "Swami, why is there so much of suffering in the world and why is there so much of so many wrong things happening?" And Swami told him, you know, in the Ramesh Hall, this is of course the conversation happened in Vrindavan. So Swami took the example of the Ramesh Hall. Swami said, see, before Swami comes out for darshan, the Ramesh Hall is so quiet. At that time, if a baby was to start crying, what would happen? Swami asked. So Venkatraman sir said, Swami, everybody's attention will be drawn to that and everybody will be looking at it. Swami said, see, that's what happens. When there is peace around, even a little bit of disturbance of that peace gets all your attention. So the same thing happens actually in the ashram, when there is otherwise so much of opportunity for peace and silence. Even small skirmishes and small, you know, unpleasant interactions can trigger off something very unpleasant within. So you have to observe that. And in fact, that's what Swami says. I'll probably read out these few lines, which from a discourse that Swami gave on 7th July 1985. Now, Swami says, sometimes people say that many obstacles occur during sadhana. When obstacles come, they should be taken as tests. Tests are intended not as punishment, but they are given for ascertaining one's fitness for promotion. Frequent tests mean frequent opportunities for promotion. If there is a big time lag between tests, it only means that promotion is not possible for a long time. The obstacles in sadhana should be taken in this spirit and you should try to overcome them. While practicing sadhana, one has to follow the rules laid down in the scriptures or follow the command of the guru or that of God. While following these rules or commands, one should not worry whatever obstacles come. One should continue with one's prescribed sadhana and achieve success, even at the cost of one's life. Some people say that they are following Swami's command, but they are getting so many obstacles in their sadhana. This is not the correct attitude. In fact, if one follows Swami's instructions carefully and correctly, no obstacles will come. If obstacles come, it means one has not followed the commands correctly. A couple of things which Swami is making there, right? Very beautiful points.
Absolutely. It becomes so clear that, again, it boils down to our attitude. If we are here truly for our spiritual uplift and growth, I will actually welcome these so-called obstacles, because right. As Swami says, these are not obstacles, these are opportunities for promotion. You know, when a student fails in an examination in college, we have something called the supplementary exams. They are given extra examinations. None of the supplementary exam students will ever say, what is this burden? You know, everybody has only two exams in a year. I am having a third exam. No, because they realize that the supplementary exam is an opportunity for them, an added opportunity for them to clear that so that they can go ahead along with their classmates and not get left behind. In the same way, Swami says, more the number of obstacles that come, you should realize that more opportunities are being given for promotion. I think that's a very, very important attitude to develop. Finally, you know, another point that comes to mind when we talk about a pilgrimage to Prashantinilayam or staying in Prashantinilayam is that it all doesn't end when we leave Prashantinilayam. You know, either we may be tourists who have come for a few days or for a few weeks, few months. We might have stayed here to do seva for a few years and then we are going ahead. The effort doesn't end with the ending of the visit, you know. There is so much more that happens. It is not the end, it is the beginning. Each visit to Prashantinilayam should be the beginning of a new high in our spiritual journey or a new insight in our spiritual journey. It should lead us to constantly endeavor to keep growing. It instead of bringing our world into Prashantinilayam, like how Swami would say in the workshop, all the junk, the oil, the dirty things, we leave it in Prashantinilayam. That is one part of the workshop. The other part is all the repairs and everything. We have to carry it back out. I mean, we have come as broken down cars or vehicles needing repair. We have to go out and maintain that repair. You know, we have to have regular maintenance that we have to do at home. In the car, for the cars also, once it's out of the workshop, there is maintenance required at home. That sort of spiritual maintenance is also a must once we leave Prashantinilayam.
And that opportunity, in fact, if you go back to the idea of Swami starting these, what used to be called bhajan mandalis and later became samitis, and today we know them as sai centers in different parts of the world. The concept of that itself was this idea of how do I take Prashantinilayam when I go back home? You know, when you speak to those devotees who came from Bangalore in the 1940s, primarily the family of Mr. Seshagiri Rao, the first pujari of the old mandir, they were saying, you know, when they came in the 1940s, 44, they said, we have come, we have spent this 1 month with Swami. It was so beautiful. We have heard so many lovely things from Swami. We have learned so many good things from Swami. How do we ensure that we don't lose all of this in this mundane, you know, work which we get into when we go back homes? So it is with that attitude they started this weekly bhajans. They said, we'll have to find ways by which we congregate those of us who have been touched by Swami this way and ensure that we keep this flame alive. And that's how they started that weekly bhajans, which eventually, after a year, it became the Akhanda bhajans. And slowly the Akhanda bhajan, at the end of it, they started prasadam distribution. With that started the regular Narayan Seva. With regular Narayan Seva came the medical camp later. So the entire setup of the Satyasai organization that we see, the Sai centers, the activities, it was all created with this idea of, I have come, I have been touched, I have been transformed. How do I ensure that I don't lose this opportunity that I've got? So one of the ways by which you carry back Prashanti Nilayam is, as a beautiful analogy which Swami gives, Swami used to give the students, that you know, you have a pot of water. If you keep the pot of water in the sun, the water will evaporate. One of the ways of reducing that evaporation is, if you keep the pot of water in a larger trough which has water, the evaporation, the loss of water caused by evaporation will be reduced. So in the same manner, if you want that what you have, what Swami has filled you with, to not be evaporated because of, you know, what you go through in life, ensure that you create a certain environment around you where you have the same thing inside and outside.
You're immersed in the
right,
Swami.
And that is what satsang is. So one of the ways by which you carry back Prashanti Nilayam is, you find similar company when you go out, where you find similar times during your day, be it in your puja room or be it in your morning meditation, where you recreate what you had gone through in Prashanti Nilayam in your own lives.
Absolutely. Swami would say many times that when you look at the ants, when an ant finds a piece of sugar, it goes back and tells everybody that there is sweet sugar here, come let's go and taste it. In the similar way, Swami would say that you have to go out and you have tasted Bhagwan's glory. You have to tell others also, you have to encourage others. But, you know, when we say tell, we literally think it as telling about it. It's not about telling. As Swami beautifully clarifies in a discourse that Bhagwan gave on the 25th of January 1963, Swami says, become entitled to the honored title of devotee. My glory is spread daily through those who call themselves my devotees. Your virtue, your self-control, your detachment, your faith, your steadfastness. These are the signs by which people read of my glory. Not that I want any such prop, but it just happens so in this world where people estimate others indirectly rather than directly. Let me tell you, such devotees are very rare. That is why I do not address gatherings as dear devotees. You can lay claim to that title only when you have placed yourself in my hands, fully, completely, with no trace of ego kept back to cater to your vanity. This is what Swami says. So when we say that as ants we have to go out and tell others about the sweet sugar we have tasted, it is not just about telling, it is about being that.
In fact, you know, just extending that, sorry to interrupt, that ant analogy, Swami would extend it a little more and say, the ant does not simply go and inform. Swami would say the ant would take a small piece of the jaggery and go and show it a sample to the, you know, the ant colony and get the rest of the ants.
And showing that is what it is shown by what we do.
Right.
And we are able to do only if we are that, you know, otherwise it will be hypocritical. If I am hypocritically doing something to show off, then I won't be able to sustain it. For that is why Swami would always say, be, do, and then tell. So that is the thing. That is how we carry back Swami, not just in our words, but in our actions, not just in our actions, in our being. So, on that note, dear listeners, we would actually have liked to conclude this satsang, but both Prem and me felt that it would be interesting and nice if we can actually come up with a kind of schedule for many of our listeners or devotees who are visiting Prashanti Nilayam and wondering how possibly we can make the best use of our time. As we said, to make best use of the time, it is about the attitude and the spiritual growth. So that is something between you and Swami. But practically, if we have to talk about filling up the time with activities, here are some things as per timings, and we will quickly go through that before concluding the satsang. The ashram gates open and the lights come on in the ashram at around 4 in the morning, which is wonderful. You know, before going to the schedule, a little background on how Swami had classified the time. Swami had said that a day has 24 hours, 8 hours each of sattvic time, tamasic time, rajasic time. Sattvic time is for doing spiritual activities. Rajasic time is for doing activities that you need to do to sustain your body. And tamasic activity is those activities that you do to give rest to the body. And therefore, you know, Swami said the sattvic times, the 8 hours are 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. If we see the ashram schedule, all the prayers, everything are concentrated around these two times. It's amazing. Then the rajasic time is from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is the time when we're supposed to do activity. And tamasic time is from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. This is when we are supposed to take rest and sleep. So, based on these timings, we have prepared this activity list.
So, that's what it starts with at 4 o'clock when the ashram gate opens. And if at all you're not staying inside the ashram, that's when you can enter the ashram. And the moment you step in, of course, you can see that people are already lining up. The first activity in the ashram as such is the Omkaram and the Suprabhatam, which happens around 5:10.
Inside the bhajan hall.
And of course, we have spoken about how this was also a thing which started. And you can see that already some of these elderly lady devotees are already, cleaning up the place. They're getting the whole place ready. Mm. And the beauty is, you know, there is a history to all of these things, how it all started. So that is the first activity that is there. You can find that early in the morning, people are already doing pradakshina to Ganesha. They'll be doing pradakshina to the Subramanya statue and, of course, the Navagraha tree, which is there. It's probably one of the most beautiful periods in the ashram when you walk in there, because you know that the people who are up there at that time really mean business. Right? You know, they are there because they know it's ashram and, you know,
they're serious about sadhana.
Serious about it. In fact, Mr. Raja Reddy, who used to serve Swami for many years, he would have this thing. He says, if you don't wake up at 3:30, and if you wake up at 6 o'clock, then half your day is almost over, you would say. Because you would say that's the best part of the day. So if you're in the ashram, if you have the, you know,
time and inclination and energy and ability.
Right, that's probably the best thing to do, to be in the ashram at 4.
Yeah, so then there is Omkaram, meditation, Suprabhatam. After which there is a Veda chanting and Nagar Sankirtan. After which, in the bhajan hall, for those who are interested, there is a puja, abhishekam, the ritual worship of the different deities that, that too again has been given by Swami only, because I remember Swami telling in a discourse how the mandir priest would chant that shloka as papoham papa karmaham, which means that I am a sinner, all my actions are sins, please forgive me. Swami said that he corrected him to chant it as praptoham prapta karmaham, which means I am a blessed one, all my actions are blessed, because Swami would say that this attitude of I am a sinner comes when you consider yourself as the body. When you have the true identification of yourself with the Atma, you will not be chanting that. So this puja and abhishekam that happens in the bhajan hall in the morning, that's also been divinely directed and the procedure given by Swami himself. Around 7:15 or 7:20 in the morning, all of this ends, and at this point in time, possibly you can go for your breakfast, either in the South Indian canteen or, if you prefer, if your palate chooses it, to any of the other hotels that are outside the ashram. But South Indian canteen serves fresh, hot, piping, sometimes spicy for your palate, South Indian food, as the name goes, for breakfast. And completing your breakfast around 8 o'clock, again, you can head back to the mandir where the Veda chanting begins, and then there is bhajan, aarti, after which the darshan of the Sai Sannidhi. Can go and offer prostrations, drop in your letters or your invitation cards to Bhagwan, whatever. Interestingly, just for your information, by the end of the day, all these things go directly into the incinerator. There's nobody going through these letters or invitations or anything. Because that is what would happen when Bhagwan was here physically. All the letters that he would collect, once Bhagwan is through with them, at the end of the day, all of them would go into the incinerator. So that's where all the letters and invitations go. So that's what happens. And around 9:30 a.m., around 10:30 a.m., you're done with all this. And now you've got the whole day ahead of you. This is when multiple options open up.
Right, and this is the time when you're actually free, and if you are in Prashanthi Nilayam for a few days, then you can fill each one of those days with different activities. For instance, the planetarium is there that opens at around 10:30, and again, entry for that is free. You just have to be there by 10:15, then you'll be seated inside. And I think different days have different languages, so accordingly.
Now they have come up with
multiple languages in your headset that is available. So that is one thing. If you are a little more inclined to something more rigorous, at 10:30 you can go to the satsang hall, and there you will have either some senior devotees or some immatures like me and Arvind there who will be sharing our thoughts in the satsang hall. That can be sometimes very, very beautiful, not because we speak there. I'm saying because some of the elderly devotees come and share their interactions with Swami, and some of them are, all of them are very, very wise, because you can hear people who have read about spirituality, who can talk from their knowledge of reading. But these are all people who have had the fortune of living with Swami, and they've assimilated whatever Swami has spoken in discourses along with their own reading and their own sadhana. So it's definitely a wonderful opportunity.
That lasts usually about an hour.
About 1 hour. So by 11:30 that should be done. If not the lectures, if not the planetarium, of course you could spend time in the library, which is just next to the satsang hall. There's a reading room there. All of Swami's literature is available, and written by Swami, on Swami, is there. You can sit there. It's a very peaceful place. Outside the window is the garden, so there's no noise whatsoever. You can sit there and read. If not for that,
you can go to the vrikshas, the Vata Vriksha or the Kalpa Vriksha, the meditation tree, Vata Vriksha. You know, Swami, when he, in 1969, planted that tree.
57,
okay, yeah. Burying under the roots the copper plates with mystical markings that he had materialized on the sands of River Chitravati. He had then said that this tree will automatically attract sages and yogis who have reached one level of sadhana. So, I have gone there and tried to meditate, hoping that the reverse also holds good, that the very fact that I'm meditating there, that I will reach some state. Yeah, like that there are many, but it's a very peaceful, beautiful place. It has been done up now. It's so wonderful. Similarly is the Kalpavriksha, the magical tree from which Swami would pluck fruits of different kinds. And, whatever the classmates or devotees would ask, Swami would pluck and give, and that's why it's called the Kalpa Vriksha, the wish fulfilling tree. Near the wish fulfilling tree, you have the opportunity to drop in your letters. There's one big bin there. And a lot of business goes on around there where people sell special papers and pens and different things. The village, simple folk, they earn their livelihood that way. But it's interesting. If not anything, you can definitely visit. There are so many other places, you can visit. Swami's birthplace, the Hanuman temple, you can make a visit to the Chaitanya Jyoti museum, different things, but as Prem said, it is not possible to pack everything in the same day, because at around 12 o'clock you would have to go for lunch. All the canteens will have opened, the western canteen serving dishes that are comfortable to the western palate, the North Indian canteen with North Indian dishes, and the South Indian canteen. The lunch will last up to 1:15, max 1:30. Again, after 1:30, you can take a little rest in your rooms, in your accommodation, or else, if you're up to it, you can continue with these visits, as we said, Chaitanya Jyoti, the birthplace, the Gokulam, where the cows are there. Different places are there. In the mornings, for instance, you could also volunteer, if you're here for about a week or 10 days, in the Vibhuti making seva. Vibhuti is made in the ashram by a set of very dedicated ladies, and their stories are amazing, because some of them have been doing this for 4 or 5 decades. Swami has personally trained them how to do it, so it will be a really enlightening experience. But this is only if you are here for a good 1 week, 10 days, because you can't go and do it as a one-off. So you can participate in that Vibhuti making seva. Any of this is done, again 4:30 is time for the evening mandir session. There is Veda chanting, there is bhajan and aarti, and once again Sai Sannidhi Darshan. So after that, 7 p.m. onwards, you have time for your personal sadhana, Likita Nama Japa, meditation. Sometimes there are video shows organized in the satsang hall. I think twice a week it is organized in the satsang hall, from 8 p.m. onwards. For those who are interested, different movies and films on Bhagwan are shown there. All this can be done, and around 9:30 p.m. is lights off time. The ashram gates shut. And if anybody feel that 9:30 is too early, if you're planning to wake up at 4, 9:30 is definitely the time you have to go to bed. In this way, if the schedule is followed, you know, they say the an idle mind is a devil's workshop. I don't think we'll have any time to keep the mind idle. The mind will be constantly on Swami and Swami activities. And possibly that is one way of sanctifying and fructifying our visit to Prashant Nilayam.
Right, absolutely. And it has been so well designed by Swami in that sense. You know, as you can see, it clearly revolves around those two times in the Mandir. So definitely when in Parthi, that is the most important thing. You know, and everything else is to ensure that you retain whatever beautiful thoughts and vibrations that you get during that period. You have to ensure that you don't lose that. And that's what Swami would say, even when Swami would give darshan, don't dissipate the energy that you've got during darshan. So what's best is to ensure that you're there in the mandir, because that's the time you're allowed to sit there. From 4:30 to 6, and morning from 8 to 9:30 is the time when nobody's going to question you, why are you sitting there? So as long as you're allowed to be in that space, that is the most sacred space in Prashanthi Nilayam. I think you should make the opportunity to stay there. And the rest of the day is to ensure that you don't lose what you've gathered in that 1.5 hours in the morning and the evening.
And just before we conclude, dear listeners, there are two other little things. Every Thursday at around 7 p.m., there is something called the Chitravati Arati. It began in 2013 when actually a set of students and staff and volunteers felt that Mother Chitravati is being neglected and it's so bad. It was in a very, very bad shape. They started an initiative to clean Chitravati and then worship Mother Chitravati every Thursday. It has become a big thing now. A separate platform has been constructed. Bhajans, satsang are held every Thursday. And it has gone to such a level that apparently even the government has taken notice. Work is on for beautification of the riverfront, and in an year or two, I think a lot of changes we will see on the Chitravati riverfront. But every Thursday at 7 p.m. there is Chitravati Aarti, and every full moon night, the night of the full moon, there is something called the Giri Pradakshina, or the circumambulation of the hillock. So it begins at the main gate of Prashanthi Nilayam with Bhagwan's beautiful wooden chariot. Swami's photograph is there, and people enthusiastically join in the pradakshina. It goes on for almost 2 to 2.5 hours. It concludes at around 9:30 in the night, on a full moon night, singing bhajans and chanting Vedam. So these are some additional things that one can participate in. On that note, dear listeners, we would like to conclude this satsang. Hope it has been educative for you, as it has been for us as well. With gratitude and love, we offer it humbly at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami. We'll end with a song, on the other side of which, as always, you'll be greeted by Brother Chandu.